Hey, busy brain saints. Are you looking for affordable and supportive LDS group coaching to help you thrive with ADHD? Well, look no further than Mindful. I created this ADHD coaching program to be affordable for you for just $97 a month, which is honestly less than a single session with most mental health professionals. You'll get to access 2 coaching calls a week, plus monthly education calls, all of our live recordings, as well as any workshops that we have coming up and have had in the past. But hurry, this will not last forever. In fact, the last day to sign up for enrollment is March 31st, 2024. Yes, Easter Sunday. After that, enrollment will be closed. So make sure that you get the details about the program, including the schedule, how to sign up, in these show notes, or head to CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful. Don't miss out on this opportunity to connect with others and take your ADHD management to the next level. Join Mindful today. I cannot wait to meet you. I do things really well, and so does my husband. And they look very different. Doesn't mean I do things perfectly. Doesn't mean he does things perfectly. That helps us really split tasks in a way that seem normal and natural. Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's podcast is titled ADHD and Neurodiverse Couples. Let's go ahead and start this episode by talking about the difference between the word neurodiverse and neurodivergent. I may have been using these words incorrectly in the past, and now we're going to kind of sort it out. I don't know, maybe I was using them correctly. Regardless, neurodiverse is a term to use to describe a group of people who have diverse neurological differences or conditions. So it emphasizes a natural variation in human brains and the idea that neurological differences should be recognized and respected. So my husband does not have ADHD. I do have ADHD. So in our relationship, we have a neurodiverse relationship. Okay. The word neurodivergent specifically refers to individuals whose neurological development and functioning differ from what is considered typical or neurotypical. It includes people with conditions such as autism, ADHD, dyslexia, etc. So today we're talking about ADHD in neurodiverse couples. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about some really great things that I have learned over the years when I didn't have an ADHD diagnosis. And when I did get my ADHD diagnosis, they're really not going to be separated, but just what we have learned over the last, at this time in the podcast, 16 years of marriage, having a husband who is extremely neurotypical and myself who is neurodivergent. So we're just going to hop right into it. The first thing is communication styles. And this can be different between couples, even if they are not in a neurodiverse relationship. They both could be neurotypical and still have a different way of communicating. They both could be neurodivergent and still have a different way of communicating. But as we're going to continue to repeat on this podcast, it's important that we understand ourselves and we understand how we communicate, and that our partner understands themselves and how they communicate, and then that we find a way to make those mesh together. Having said that, there are particular aspects of neurodivergence that are not necessarily seen or valued or highlighted in a neurotypical society like what we see in the United States. And so discussing how ADHD does impact communication styles and having strategies that are effective for our communication between each other has been really important. I need a pause. I need a pause between transitions. If I am feeling thick into what I am doing, and I'm asked to then think of something else that that's effortful, that requires some more thick thinking, it's really difficult for me to hold both of those together. Whereas for my husband, he tends to maybe not see that that would be a difficult thing for me to talk about. This past weekend, we had family in town, and my daughters were performing in a play, and I was organizing a variety of different things between family members and people visiting and ticket sales and making sure everyone was where they needed to be on time. We were preparing for dinner. There were just a lot of things going on, and I wasn't necessarily feeling my best physically. And so my husband noticed that, and because we have been working on our communication styles, he knew that he didn't want to jump in and bring up a different subject about our summer plans and for our plans for a church activity that we're going to be doing. It's not that it wasn't important. He just realized and noticed. I know that when you're really into something, you don't like to be interrupted. So I'm going to put that on pause and I'm going to wait for a better time. That was very gracious of him, and I really appreciated it. And he brought it to my attention. It's not always easy for him to do that. I could tell that it was inconvenient. I could tell that he probably would have preferred to have my support and my input at that time. And also, he recognizes that when we have a give and take relationship, that sometimes in accommodating what I need, in the end, we will both get what we need without as much arguing or frustration. So that's one thing that we've done. I've mentioned before on the podcast that Saturday mornings, he really loves to get things done. And Saturday mornings, I finally have another adult with me. And so sometimes I just like to relax a little bit more or work uninterrupted on the business or on the podcast. And that way we have like this tag team of our kids with us. And so that was another communication style. Our expectations needed to be understood a little bit better. And I had to learn when he would ask me, hey, what do you want to do today? Or this is what I was thinking about getting done. That instead of just getting angry or getting frustrated of like, can I just have a moment to relax? How is he supposed to read my brain, right? I would say, I need about 5 minutes to get back to you on that conversation or on that idea. And a lot of the time, the 5 minutes is actually used to regulate my body so that I don't feel like I've been blindsided. And he understands that if that's what I need, I'm trying to do it so I'm not upset. You know, I'm trying to do it so I can give myself some space to regulate. Because a lot of the time when we feel blindsided or we feel like expectations are loaded on us without our permission, our natural tendency with a dysregulated brain is just to go into defense. And he didn't deserve defense. He was trying to be helpful, right? And I don't want to show up as that partner in our marriage that is acting in defense. So I know I need a 5 minute or a 10 minute buffer to like warm up to the combo. Finances are a really tough one as well. And so whenever we have to have a talk about finances, we have had to come to a communication style that works best for us. And, that means creating a lot of space and talking things through. So you'll learn a communication style that works for you. It's really difficult for me to have deep conversations or conversations about scheduling when the kids are running all over the place. It's already very stressful for me to talk about scheduling because it requires a lot of working memory that ADHD doesn't really help me out very well with. And so then when I have all the other distractions of increased noise level, increased stimulation, I become very overstimulated and it's very difficult for me to focus on something that is really important, like schedules. And so then I become short-fused. And so there have also been times when I've just said, I can't talk about this right now. There's too much going on. We're going to need to talk about it later this evening, or can we set a time to talk about it later? Either that, or we ask the kids to leave and then we give each other the full attention. And for one reason or another, my husband does like quiet. He does like order, but sometimes, I'm just so much more overstimulated by that. So being able to communicate that and understand what are my triggers has been really, really important. Now, he has his communication styles as well. And so the way that I'm talking about this is very one-sided. It's by, you know, you're going to hear it from an ADHDer's perspective. Maybe I'll have to bring him on the podcast sometimes and you can hear it from his perspective. I want to drive home here that neither way is right or wrong, but that there's equal communication. And the more that we get to know ourselves, the better we're going to understand what our needs are. Because when he has me all the way, he has my full attention, our conversations are extremely productive. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why I love being married to him, is because we get things done when we're on the same page. So in the end, it's not a sacrifice to communicate our communication styles, because in the end, we're actually getting what we want out of our marriage for both people. But it does take flexibility. Okay, understand ADHD would be a next thing. First, it's your job to understand your own ADHD. It's not your partner's job. It's not their responsibility to understand yours. They, you know, it's really sweet of them to maybe listen to a podcast or, you know, listen to a reel or even read a book, but it really isn't their job. Their job is to take care of you, not you. Their job is to take care of themselves, and your job is to take care of yourself. And then as you guys take care of each other, you bring what you know about yourself to the table, and that's where you start the education. So while on occasion I will send a podcast, I don't really ever send my husband full ADHD podcasts. I'll send him like parenting podcasts on occasion. It's mostly reels because those are like less than a minute. And we will have conversations about like parenting someone with ADHD, or maybe how a kid's brain or a person's brain with ADHD works, or what kind of techniques or tools or strategies may be helpful for him. But I don't send that to him with the intent of him becoming an expert at ADHD. I'm just sending it to him because it's kind of what we talk about when we're married and have four young kids, right? Like parenting together. But I don't send him that to say, here, you need to become the expert on me, your spouse with ADHD. It's up to me to communicate with him how my brain is working, specifically because even if you did read a book, every person is so unique. So we can educate each other, but I would drive home here that educating within context, like I've already brought up, like your finances, your Saturday routines, your parenting, like educate based upon the context as things are coming out. It's not their job to read the textbook and memorize it and learn how to, like, this is all my opinion, but like put it to work. They have their own brain that they're trying to work out and understand. So while we may want to do that, especially if you're listening to this podcast, we're kind of hyper-focused on that idea. It may not be the best technique or like even a reasonable one because people are busy. They're really, really busy. And just because they're not reading the books doesn't mean that they don't love you. I said that weird. Doesn't mean that they don't love you. It just means that they're probably busy taking care of the rest of the family. And I have found that just talking about things as challenges come up and educating that way is the most effective over time. I mean, I share things with him a lot about what I've learned about who I am or my kids, or, you know, pointed things out. Hey, do you know, like just last night, we noticed that one of our daughters with ADHD was really, really struggling to calm down. And then the next morning she slept in like an hour longer than she normally does. And I just pointed out, do you see that she slept in the next day after she had a really difficult night? He's like, yeah. It's like, it's because she was acting really, really big and having ping pong ball emotions last night because she was exhausted, but she didn't know what to do with the exhaustion. She probably didn't recognize it and she couldn't regulate herself to calm down enough, but she was still exhausted. And so that's why she was the way she was. And so it just kind of adds an element of compassion so that the next time that happens, we can say, you know what? This isn't making any sense why she's acting this way. She's probably tired. And so let's just work on, you know, getting through this so that we can get her to bed, so that she can get the rest that her brain needs. Okay, managing responsibilities. I love this one. Explore ways to divide responsibilities and tasks in a way that considers the strengths and challenges of both partners. And this has been really helpful because I do things really well, and so does my husband. And they look very different. Doesn't mean I do things perfectly. Doesn't mean he does things perfectly. That helps us really split tasks in a way that seem normal and natural. Bring it up again. He very naturally likes putting the dishes away. I very naturally like putting the dishes in the dishwasher. And so that's what we've decided to do. He makes the bed every day. He loves a made-in bed. I couldn't care less. I mean, I appreciate when he makes it because it's, you know, the sheets are nice and tight, and but I can sleep regardless. And so if he wants that as a expectation in our marriage, then he makes the bed. And that's great. And every so often I will make the bed. But the expectation is if he wants it to be made, then he needs to make it because it's just not, it's not where I want to put my energy at this point in our life. Though that may shift as our kids shift and change. I am really good at meal planning. And so I buy the groceries. I do my best to stick to a budget. And I have a menu of options available to us every week as to what we can eat. And he's really great at cooking as well. He's just as capable as I am with cooking. And we probably cook dinners half and half. And so he looks to that menu. That's kind of what I've decided to take on. And I look to him or myself to actually accomplish the meals at night. Same with bedtime and other activities that way. We have really great teamwork together and we do work off of each other's strengths. Thankfully, he takes care of all the bills. he manages paying bills on time and, you know, medical things that come through or electric bills. He sets all of that up. And now my word for the year is informed. And so now I am taking over at least understanding what he's doing and just understanding where the money is going. So it's not that I'm completely separate from it, but I know that that is not one of my fortes and it becomes really, really burdensome for me and stresses me out. But guess what? I helped with my kids' poster board for their wax museum day and helped create the costumes for the play and those creative activities he doesn't do. So it's not either or, it's just we do what makes most sense. And when I need extra help, he's there. And when he needs extra help, I'm there. Okay, one more time, a reminder for our working memory that doesn't always show up for us. Easter Sunday is the last day to enroll in Mindful. $97 will keep that price so long as you are enrolled in the program. It's going to be closing for a bit so that we can get to know each other in the group even more personally. It's a beautiful small group of people who are really working on increasing their knowledge of ADHD, many of which understand the LDS faith and culture as well because they are active members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We would love, love, love to have you there. So CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful gets you there. If you have any further questions, you're always welcome to reach out to me at info@CamdenADHDCoaching.com. Back to the show. Emotional regulation. Within a relationship, it's really important to discuss emotional regulation because a lot of the time, like I've mentioned before, we just act defensive or we get really big with our emotions, not because those are necessarily how we want to express or even how we're feeling, but our body doesn't show up for us the way that we wish it would. And so having a partner that understands that if we're interrupted in the middle of something that we're doing, we're probably gonna lash out or get defensive or feel frustrated. And that might come across as very unnecessary to both of us. And yet, you know, we can work on that. And so there's a responsibility of the partner to say, hey, is this an okay time or should I come back in 15 minutes? And there's a responsibility on the person with ADHD to make sure they have some emotional tools to help them chill so that they can, when interrupted, say, I need 10 minutes or now's not a good time. Let me set my alarm for 15 minutes and then I'll come upstairs and talk about that and regulate their body. Like you both have a responsibility of understanding in that situation. I know that I'm forgetting things, you guys. And once again, I can tell that this is very much from an ADHD perspective. Seeking professional help. So when we decided to have our fourth baby, one of my non-negotiables was having a therapist on hand. And that was pre having the baby and post having the baby. And husband fully supported that. He's always supported me in having therapy, having an ADHD coach to help me navigate what I'm going through. Because his job is not to be the clinician or my, you know, therapist. That's not his job. His job is to be my partner. And I will fully support him whenever he decides to also, you know, have that support in his life as well. We can celebrate the differences. This one can be kind of tricky for me because there are certain things that on both sides can seem like a better than type of scenario. My husband is not necessarily really creative when it comes to art or creation, when it comes to interior design or style. It's just not his thing. He's not very musical. He's just not a creator the way that I am. And that's awesome because then it allows me to be able to step into my creative arena. And I have invited him into the creative arena. When we were putting down new flooring in our house and building our deck outside, they used to call me the foreman. I don't know if you say forewoman or the foreperson, but my neighbor was working with, and I said, "You're the foreman. Tell us what to do," essentially. And in that scenario, that is literally how we celebrated it, right? We celebrated my vision for what we wanted in the home, how to get it done. He learned some new skills. I was about 7 months pregnant when we put that new flooring in. So, maybe I was 5 months pregnant. So I needed extra manpower. And he fulfilled on that. You know, he was willing to learn power tools and all the things that he didn't grow up learning. And he had a mom that used the power tools. You know, his dad really wasn't handy. And so he didn't learn those skills. And that's not by any fault of his own. It's just he didn't learn those things. And from my side, what he is very organized and predictable and consistent and what's that word? Rhythmic. Like he just really sticks to his rhythm. He's very compartmentalized in many ways. And heaven knows, people with ADHD, we need a little bit more of that in our life. So I'm so thankful that in our relationship that I can lean upon him for that type of perspective. And I'm really proud of us that over the past 16 years, we really have found a way to balance both of those things. He's really loosened up, specifically since having kids and having young kids, about clutter, a lived-in home, toys around, and crayons and markers with the lids off, which still drive me crazy because it's money down the drain. But he's really starting to see, like, this is what childhood looks like. This is what creativity looks like, and almost taking pride in what his kids can create, and how he can allow them space to create. And then on my side, whereas I could live a little bit more in a cluttered space for a little bit longer, I have been able to step in and say, this is beautiful. This is awesome. Just know that we're going to need to take it down by the end of the day or by the end of the weekend, not only for his well-being, but also for my kids, so that they can start to see, okay, we can put constraints upon our fun and we can live a life of creativity and also live one of purpose and organization. And so when we can celebrate each other's differences, it makes life feel a little bit more complete and beautiful. And it really feels more like a puzzle coming together. It really feels more like a basketball team that has different positions and yet all together creates a really powerful unit. Self-care. My husband and I experience self-care very differently. And I had to learn how to rest. I've talked to you all about that quite a bit. But I've had to learn how to rest in my life. And my husband was one of the most amazing people to teach me how. He is just so laid back. And I've had to help him learn how to be more of an adventurer. He would just stay at home, or, you know, he is just the king of comfort. He is the king of the comfort zone. And I am the queen of the adventure. And I have learned, I think COVID really helped me learn this. Being married to my husband really helped me learn this. I've learned that there is joy in stillness as well. And so understanding how we care for ourselves in different ways has been really beautiful. He and I love to travel together, and we like some adventure and we like some downtime. And it's one of my favorite things to do. I've had people in my life look at how my husband and I travel together and go on vacations. And the longest we've ever been away has been about 10 days, which is a long time for having young kids. We try really hard to make sure that our kids are well taken care of, that they also get their own adventures while we are away. They get to spend time with family members and friends that are enjoyable for them, and that no one person is really carrying that full burden. That's important to us. And it's really important for my relationship with Tyler for us to get away, because if you remember, my husband is very compartmentalized. And so it's hard for him to step fully into being a husband to me when there are so many other compartments that need attention, such as work, church callings, responsibilities, finances, kids. And I love being his wife and he loves being my husband. And so for us, getting away really allows us to remember that about each other. And so there were people that would say, oh, I could never take a vacation like that without my kids. And that's fine for them. But probably you guys also have a relationship with your children and your spouse where you can still connect with each other with your kids around. And that can be a gift and that can be a blessing in your life. And yet it is different for us. We really need that one-on-one time for an extended period of time to remind us of the place of why we fell in love in the first place, because of that compartmentalization. And I'm the same way. I mean, I also have to be a mom. I run a business. I have lots of things here too. Our kids challenge us both to a degree that we kind of forget about ourselves. We forget about each other. They are constantly on our mind. And so for us, taking that space for self-care to help us manage our stress, to help us avoid burnout, that makes sense for both of us is really important. I guess I just have one more, and that's building a strong foundation. When you understand what values you are building your life upon as a couple, it makes it a lot easier for you to navigate neurodiversity. If we understand as a family that we have a value of teamwork, camaraderie, love, service, then the activities and the choices that we make will revolve around those central values, regardless if we have ADHD or we don't have ADHD. And it helps us funnel, how can I use my strengths? How can you use your strengths in order for us to accomplish this common goal? And it's actually kind of fun. I feel like that cooperation, that give and take, is purposeful and is for something, and is for something that we're both all in with. And we bring different strengths to the table, different views, different visions to the table when we're both trying to create something so similar. It's not either or here. It's the compromise. That's the word I'm looking for. It's the compromise and figuring out who we are together. It's almost like we create a third person, where my husband is himself, I'm my person, then our kids are themselves. But when we all come together with this collaborative effort, it's like we form a third unit, a unit that is really based upon a common goal, a common value, a common thread. And we all bring what we have to create that. And it becomes really beautiful. Now, this is not always easy. Expect conflict, expect hard conversations, expect crucial conversations, and expect discomfort, because meshing those worlds often look like completely contradictory ideas forcing to exist in the same space. But lastly, I think what I could say is, if you're willing to give it some time, be patient, and just give it a try, be curious about it, then you can expect some really beautiful things to happen. And with that experiment, if you can be reflective as to how it went and what worked and what didn't work, then you can also expect for things to continue to improve. Not one partner needs to be giving more than the other or sacrificing more than the other. And I know I'm speaking in ideal circumstances here. I know that my relationship with my husband, albeit not perfect, is really beautiful because he is a very humble and willing person. Interestingly enough, he's the only, I may have dated one other neurotypical person, but I dated a lot more people with ADHD than I did neurotypical. And in each one of those relationships before I was married, there were a lot of different give and takes, especially in those relationships where we both had neurodivergent minds. And I didn't even know I did at that point. it looked a lot different. And I felt like I had to sacrifice pieces of me in order to let them be big. And that's what was so interesting about my relationship with Tyler, is that he gave me wings so that I could fly, and he was willing to take the back seat. And I loved that until I noticed, because of my ADHD, that he had wings that needed to also open up and expand. And so finding that cooperation between each other has taken 16 years, and we still will continue to learn and to grow. Whatever situation you are in, I hope that maybe you're feeling at least heard or sustained to a degree on your end. And I hope that you're in a healthy relationship. And I know that not everyone is, and that's really difficult and really frustrating. I know that some of you have partners or spouses where you travel a lot or your partner travels a lot. I know that there are situations where there might be separation, there might be divorce, there might be co-parenting that looks different. And I want you to know that you are not forgotten either. This particular episode was for neurodiverse relationships in partnerships. And so it is very narrow. And it's what I have experienced. And even with my lived experience as someone who's married, there's so much difference in each partnership, right? Thank you so much for being here. I hope you value and honor your situation. I hope that you know and understand that your neurodivergent ADHD brain is equally as valid to your partner's neurotypical brain or to their neurodivergent brain. Maybe you're going to take this information and apply it to your workplace or to a church calling where you're working with other people that have brains that are different from you. Maybe this is going to be with a family member or a business partner. And each one of these areas are going to be helpful to help support you in that. You are valid. Your brain is equally as awesome. Please know how much I love you. And I am always, always cheering you on. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.